Welcome to the Peace Church Life Group Leaders Podcast. As a church, we've been called to help everyday people experience life change through Christ-centered relationships. And life groups play a crucial role in that mission. This podcast is a resource to help equip you as you seek to lead your life group well. I'm your host, Drew Hill, and I'm with Aaron Pierce, our multiplication pastor and leader of our life group ministry.
Welcome back to the Life Group Leaders Podcast. This is Aaron Pierce here. We are doing a very special edition of the Life Group Leaders Podcast. I am pumped to be here as your host this time instead of actually doing most of the talking. We're flipping the script. We're going to be interviewing Mr. Drew Hill here in just a second. For those of you listening, Drew has been, of course, helping us out with this podcast for the last year. But more than that, he's also been, of course, serving as our student ministries director. He had grown up in this church, grown up in this area, and as of the last few months has felt the call to go and plant a church with our team in Chula Vista, California. So this past Sunday, at least at the time of this recording, we just commissioned out 14 people from our church to pack up and move all the way to Chula Vista in the San Diego area of California to plant a church with Amos Dillard, who's going to be leading that church planting team. And so with all of that going on, we wanted to kind of stop. Obviously, this is going to be the last time Drew is on the podcast with us. And so as a way to kind of commemorate that, instead of a normal episode about life groups, though we will tie that in, we want to talk through just what does that look like? How did Drew get to that point of wanting to answer the call? What does that have to do with life groups and discipleship? And just kind of talk through those things. And so with that said, we are now going to grill Drew with some questions, and if you've been on this podcast before, you know he loves getting put on the spot, so I can't wait to see what he answers. So, all right, Drew, here we go, man. So, first, man, what led you to even consider church planting in Chula Vista?
Thank you guys so much for tuning in over this last year. It's been a pleasure to serve you guys and just to be able to learn along with you. So, thank you. What led me to consider church planting? Man, at first, honestly, it was the people in my life, right? The people around me. Because at first, when it was first brought up and Amos first came to our church and kind of pitched the idea, I was kind of hesitant. And I wasn't really thinking that I needed to pray through it. And God used some people in my life and around me to say, hey, you know, maybe you should pray for this. And maybe you should think about it. And so he kind of used those guiding voices in my life to say, hey, you know, you need to put your yes on the table. So yeah, people.
Yeah. So man, that's good. And as you think through that, right, you're considering in Chula Vista. Here's the thing. We've said that earlier in the introduction of this episode. You grew up here.
Yeah.
You've been in Wilson area pretty much your whole life.
Yeah.
I think we joked the other day. I said, have you ever lived anywhere else? You said, yeah, I went to Southeastern for 2 years. It's 45 minutes away for those who don't know. And so, man, how did you know you were called to go? Because it's one thing to kind of consider, but we're talking about moving almost as far away from Wilson as you can get in the United States, kind of in the United States. So how did you know that you were called to do this?
Yeah, a really good question. Like I had mentioned, when it was first brought up, I was like kind of reluctant, and I didn't really think we needed to pray through it because I thought God had provided an awesome job here for me, awesome job for my wife, just a really good setup in a place that we love and we know, right? And so, and then people came into life and said, hey, maybe you should think and pray about this. And I just felt from God that I wanted to be obedient. Even if he wasn't calling us to Chula Vista, I wanted to be in a place where I say, hey, I am going to be willing to pray about this because I want to hear you on everything. And as we prayed through that and as we walked through the steps and said, is this something that you want to do? The thing that kind of showed me that, yes, I'm calling you was this peace. It was overall feeling from both me and my wife as we prayed separately that God had called us to do this, and there was just a complete and total peace about the whole situation. We've continued to experience that all throughout the process as we've gotten ready to, you know, leave our home and then move across the country. So
you didn't get a message in the sky or Chula Vista spelled out in your Cheerios?
No, because there's only O's in Cheerios. But I remember one time in my life where I almost thought God spoke to me in that way, but it really just wasn't that. It was as I spent time with him and I was intentional asking him, it was just this piece about, yes,
yeah,
I want you to go.
Well, it just shows the importance of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're walking with God, God makes it clear what you're going to do. Ironically, I actually remember, I mean, nobody else knows this, but when we sat down a few months ago to do a podcast episode, and you looked at me and you said, how do you know? I could tell then God was already stirring, and it was just evident by the way you were asking the question. And I was like, man, you just know.
Yeah.
And so here you are saying it's just God makes that clear, which is so cool. So next question, just to think through this, obviously moving across the country, doing a church plant in general comes with challenges. So what's been the biggest challenge you faced since you said yes to this church plant?
Yeah, so I have two like things in mind. One is more like physical, and one is more spiritual. So like, obviously it's hard to trust God with all of the logistical stuff. Like a U-Haul costs a lot of money, or are we going to be able to get an apartment? Are we going to find a place that feels safe for us? You know, are we going to be able to go to a grocery store that we like? You know, just little things, and just that are going to be so completely different because we're 3,000 miles away. And so God has been there and has opened the doors and has given peace and encouraged us through other people all along the way. But sometimes it's hard to trust that, hey, you know, God's going to provide, right? Because we are people and we like to be in control. And in a situation like this, you just realize that you are so not in control.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the more like physical thing, but it's also very, very spiritual. But more personally, on a spiritual level, we've talked about this as a team. It has been really easy to let this decision give me a sense of identity instead of letting Christ give me a sense of identity. And that's something I've had to work through, because this is a huge thing, right? I realize that, you know, going and moving across the country is this huge deal, but to God it's just obedience. And it's not what defines me. It's not what makes my relationship right with Christ. And so it's just really making sure that I'm finding my identity in Christ and not in the works that he has called me to do. And that's been something to work through and learn, and I'm still learning it. So, yeah.
No, that makes sense. In fact, I had lunch with one of the other guys on the team, and he said a very similar thing. He was just being honest and said, it's easy to feel like, man, like we're really doing something big, and almost get puffed up in it. Mm-hmm. And he said, I had to realize, like, I'm just being obedient to God, just as anybody is anywhere they are, which is a cool thing, but it just shows how tricky Satan is, right?
Absolutely.
We take a great thing and twist it. So, man, that's good. So let's talk specifically about some things related to discipleship life groups, right? This is obviously a Life Group Leader podcast, and we want to tie some of this in. So what role did discipleship and life groups maybe even play in your answering God's call to this church plant?
Yeah, so just on it was the key to it all, right? I think the only way that I felt the confidence and the closeness with God to say, hey, I'm going to step out and trust you in this and like really allow you to work, was because of where I was at spiritually. And where I'm at spiritually is accredited directly to the discipleship relationships I've been able to be in, the life group community I've been able to experience as we've been here at Peace. And it's just, it's given me a group of people to support me as we go. It's given me brothers in a discipleship setting to like grow and to learn how to, you know, be closer to God as I take this next step. And so, man, it's been the key, right? It's put me in a place to be able to say, I want to obey.
So. Well, I can say from personal experience, it's been 5 years, I think, since you first came to church, or not church, but came back. You know, you had gone to college and come back, and you were at a place in your life where you were wanting to get more serious with God. And I remember you and I started meeting for about a year, to watch where you were from that point to then you go to Southeastern, you have guys there that poured into you.
Yeah.
You had other people pour into you later. It's just cool to watch this trickle effect of you saying yes to God in the smallest way, which at first was, I'm going to get back in church real more consistent. I'm going to meet with Aaron for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the next step was, I'm going to go to Southeastern. Then I'm going to say yes to these things. And it just kept building. And it just shows, like, when we're faithful in a little, God continues to bless, which is just cool to see. So, like, this is a testimony of you saying yes to something as simple as meeting with somebody in discipleship opens a door that God uses later, right? Like, Those guys at Southeastern at your wedding was cool to see.
Yeah.
Because you had shared with me about them, and I see them like pumped for you, and it's just like, man, like this is what it should be. People pouring into people all over. It's just a cool thing to see. So because of that, we know, I've heard this from Amos and from you, but I want you to share with our listeners, what does the role of small groups play in the start of City Lights Church, which, by the way, is the name of the church plant, so if I say that in passing, I don't want to confuse you, but what role do small groups play in what you guys are going to do at the start?
Yeah, small groups are going to be huge because we're not like pulling up to California and there's this huge building for us to, you know, go into and start throwing these services. That's not really the model that we're going after. And so we as a team are going to have to be very intentional of making relationships and creating communities in our community. And those places are life groups. Now, we're going to call them community groups there, but it's the same exact thing. And so we're going to invite these people to come and be a part of our life by having them into our home, eating dinner with them, and then we're going to invite them to be a part of our community, which is these groups, life groups, that are made up by our team and eventually made up of people who are in the community. And that's going to be their starting point, right? Their touch point. Hey, I can get involved in this small community. So when it's time for us to launch next year, 2022, they know us. They understand, hey, we're serious about following Christ. And they can come be a part of those launch services and then just be woven into the fabric of the church. So,
yeah, so it is the church's start point, really, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it is the small group. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So what role, what would you say, because I know we've got listeners here who might be thinking, this is all sounds great. Like, oh, that's so cool for Drew and these other people. And the great thing about a lot of the people on our team is you are on staff and Caitlin's on staff, but the rest of our team are not.
Yeah.
They're just everyday people who have experienced God's power through Christ in their relationships and seen him do things in their life and said yes. So what would you say the average person that's listening to this that might say, man, this is a cool thing, but I don't think I could ever be a part of a church plant team. What would you say to that person?
I would just say, coming to a place of being willing to obey God was the place where God showed me what he wanted for me, you know? And I would just say, don't ever, like, close a door if God hasn't closed that door. And so, like, when we first heard about this, I was like, no, we're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to realize, like, I want to be willing to obey God if he's called me there or if he hasn't. And so I'm going to be willing to obey him. So I would just say, be in a place where you're willing to obey God no matter what, and then let him do with your life what he sees fit.
Yeah. And he's going to incrementally walk you through it.
Absolutely.
Again, you didn't come to us 5 years ago and say, I'm ready to plant a church.
No. And it was just these small steps of obedience, like you mentioned. Like, I remember when I thought, I need to start meeting with somebody. And I walked down after that Sunday service and I said, let's start meeting. And those times where he spent, where I was, you know, being real about what I was walking through and struggling through, and just that whole process of saying, I'm going to obey. And if God didn't take me to a place of obedience when it comes to this, who knows where I would be now? You know, it wouldn't necessarily be going. So just be willing to obey God. That's what I would say to the average, you know, everyday believer.
Yeah. That's such a good word, man, because everybody can do that.
Yeah.
Right where they're at, whatever God's calling you to do next, just say yes. Don't worry about what the 10 steps ahead of that is. Just say yes now. It's so good. So this is a question we didn't actually have on here planned. I'm just going to throw this at you really quick.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll end with how we can pray for you. So flipping it from the other thing that we asked earlier, we asked what was your biggest challenge. What has been the biggest joy or just excitement since saying yes to this church plant that you've seen?
Great question, and I'm glad you added it. Man, I have realized how big of an impact the body of believers here at Peace Church has really had on me. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's easy not to realize that when you're in the moment, but when you are considering, I'm about to leave this, you really see the impact of just being able to come together, worship on a Sunday morning, sing together, and be in a life group and be in a community of people who love you and have people around you who want to sharpen you and help you grow and support you. It has been a true joy to be reminded of the awesome community that we have here at Peace. And and encouragement to go and be a part of creating that somewhere else. That's definitely been my biggest joy and just encouragement is just the body of believers. And yeah.
No, that's great, man. And as you listening hear that, that's why this stuff is so important with life groups, with discipleship, because it literally changes lives. Not those that do it, those of you that are leading, myself, Drew, would be the first to tell you, it's nothing we do as leaders.
Right.
We're just being obedient, and God uses it to multiply kingdom effort. And the sad part is, I love our church, but there's many people that aren't connected into those environments right now.
Yeah.
And they're missing that opportunity. And who knows, our next church planter could be a simple invite from a life group away, from that first step of obedience down the road, becoming something so much more, right? So, man, we appreciate everything you've done for this podcast, for life groups, obviously the church. It's been cool to see. We made it through 25 episodes, so that's like literally every other week almost. We survived. So the next host, I guess he's got big shoes to fill. You know, you can listen to it and tell us, like, give a 1-star rating and say it was great through episode 25, and then it fell downhill. No, but man, we want to leave this and just ask, as listeners listening, as obviously me asking you here, man, how can we pray for you as you move forward? At the time of this recording, you're about 3 weeks out from moving, you personally. So how can we pray for you guys?
Yeah, pray that we will meet people of peace who we can share the gospel with, and they would come to know Christ. That's why we're going, is to share our faith with people, to share our lives with people. And so pray for our team that they would have opportunities to meet lost people who are open to Christ, and that we would be faithful to share with them the truth of Jesus and allow and help them see their life change with Christ. And so, yeah, pray for our team.
Absolutely. So, man, here's what's cool. I'm hoping as listeners hear this in the future, where you've already been gone for a while, how cool would it be to see those prayer requests answered, that we have you on in a later episode. Maybe we zoom you in, or when you're in for the holidays, and say, look at how God has done something. That'll be like episode 50. But seeing that happen, I just believe God's going to do amazing things through you, through the team, through the rest of everything. So, man, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Drew, for being a part of this. This is our big sign-off, so you'll have to send him a message and tell him thanks for everything he's done. And so, man, we appreciate you, love you, and we'll be praying for you. So stay tuned. We've got more episodes coming up. New host, turning over a new leaf. If you haven't already, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we will see you guys in the future. We out.